Welcome, everyone, to this episode of Active Radio KHII 88.9 FM Podcast. We really appreciate you joining us today. My name is John Hurt, and we're going to interview some of the greatest and most influential minds in our community. By sharing knowledge through our conversations, we will try to impart some information you may need about what is happening in the Tularosa Basin and across southern New Mexico. So let's get to the interviews.
Well, good morning, everyone. I'm Bob Flott. We're live and local in the studio on this Friday morning as we get ready for a busy weekend again around our Alamogordo area. Another fun weekend. And I've got to tell you, if you haven't stepped outside this morning yet, wait until you step outside again. Another beautiful day in Alamogordo. Holy moly. I could really take it like this 6 months at a time, twice a year. It's just so nice outside this morning. Well, if you're traveling around this morning on highways 547 or 380, no roadblocks at all scheduled for today. Now, inside the range, there's one that began a minute ago from 7:30 this morning until 12:30 this afternoon. North, mid, and south range area, range roads 6, 7, 9, and 12. And that is it for your roadblocks for today. So be careful. Like we say, from the men and women at range control and your men and women in law enforcement all around the area, please buckle up, please drive safely, and watch those posted speed limits. Well, we're going to welcome to our in-studio this morning for his first visit our Alamogordo manager, Rick Holder. Rick, by golly, we've talked before on the air, but welcome to the studio this morning.
Good morning, Bob. It's great to be here on a Friday morning. You called the weather right from the get-go. It's beautiful. I like that. Blue skies and sunny and nice and cool this morning. Beautiful morning.
Doesn't get much better than this, does it?
Absolutely not.
Of course, you're not a neophyte to the Otero County area. You've got a little history there. Do you mind sharing it with us?
Oh, sure. Mom and Dad bought a property up in Cloudcroft back in 1984. And so since then, I've been coming up almost every summer. And so I would come back and forth, come down here to eat and buy groceries and things for the mountain retreat. So I'm not new to the area in that term, but I am a new resident of Otero County, literally with a New Mexico driver's license in the whole nine yards.
So very good.
I'm here.
You're here. You became city manager about 6 months ago.
Yes. First day was officially November 27th of 2023.
Right. And so you've been busy during those first 6 months for sure. And we'll get to that in just a moment. But let's go ahead, Rick Holden, and tell our folks a little bit about your history.
Well, I've spent most of my life in public service, in city government and in public utilities, kind of split 40 years between both of those two almost equidistant, 20 years in each. So I had retired and thought, my goodness, I'll just retire and play golf and do what I want to do. And that lasted not too long. I get too bored. I don't like TV. I can't play golf well enough to play every day. So I applied for this city manager's job here because of my love for Otero County and the mountains. And here I am. I found myself here. So I'm back out of retirement and thoroughly enjoying myself.
So, Rick Holder, when you decided to, hey, that's enough retirement, I don't want to play golf anymore, I've got to keep myself busy, you could have selected various cities around the area, around the United States. But, Rick, you selected Alamogordo. I know you have some history dating back to 1984 up there at Cloudcroft with the cabin, but why Alamogordo?
Well, I think, obviously, the mountain retreat had a lot to do with it because of the distance from Dallas-Fort Worth to there. It took about 9 hours to get there. So it just wasn't a place I could enjoy any weekend or every weekend. Here, especially this time of the year, if I want to go up there, I can go up there every weekend. It takes about 20 minutes to get up there, and at the same time, I'm close enough that I can still monitor the goings-on here in Alamogordo and be down here in case of an emergency or whatever. But at least on those very, very hot days that I know are coming this way, I may find myself up there late in the evening spending the night and then being back down here the next morning. So that's one of the reasons why I wanted to come out to this area, and I am fascinated with New Mexico in general. There's just so much beauty here, and we laughed a few moments ago about the weather. If you want to see some different weather in New Mexico, you don't have to go very far to see it.
That's right, yeah.
And so listening to the weather forecast, I often get confused because I'm trying to figure out where I'm at in the middle of all that, and I finally hear somebody say Alamogordo, and I know I'm good to go.
Yeah, you know you're close at. Well, going to your history in your life, you've had a very interesting history. United States Air Force, a police officer, a broadcaster.
You're right. I'm one of those guys that, what was the old saying? A jack of all trades and
right.
A master of none. I have had every opportunity that you could ever imagine in a lifetime. And those opportunities have come at me, and I've taken advantage of those. So you're right. I started off my municipal career as a police officer in a small town south of Fort Worth, Crowley, Texas. And I was not even old enough to buy my own gun or bullets, and the chief had to sign for me to get a gun.
So you must have been, what, 19 or
yeah,
so?
Yeah, I think it was 18 at
18,
that time.
Yeah.
I began my career there, and quite in a funny way, that didn't last a long time because I wrote the city secretary a ticket for running through a four-way stop sign.
Oh, okay.
And subsequently, the mayor called me in, and this was back, I guess, before ethics, maybe.
Yeah.
And he pulled the ticket out of the drawer, and he said, Rick, did you write this ticket? And I looked at the ticket, Bob, and I knew that was the ticket I had written. I said, absolutely, sir. Yes, I wrote her a ticket. She ran through a stop sign, didn't even slow down. And I said, you know, I would write my mom a ticket for going through that stop sign. And he looked at me, and he took that ticket and tore it smooth in half. And I laid my gun belt down on the desk and took my badge off, and I said, I may have picked the wrong career field. So that was my early start in police service, and subsequently I spent time as a reserve officer, and even as a city manager in Stamford, Texas. I worked part-time some over at the Jones County Sheriff's Office as a reserve deputy. So I kept that active for many years, and for many years I've let that lapse. So a little police work there. You talk about broadcasting. Growing up in Crowley, of course, I don't want to mention a specific radio station on the air, but there's a major station in Fort Worth, Texas, where Don Harris was a broadcaster for many years, and he lived in Crowley. He says, hey, Rick, let me take you over to the station and let you do an audition for our FM station. And I was very young then, 16 or 17 at that. And so I did that. I didn't get the job. I had zero experience. So
right.
imagine getting a job at a major market radio station with no experience. But the experience was good enough that it allowed me to further my interest in that, get my licenses. And as such, when I was a city manager in Stamford also, I worked part-time at a radio station over in Haskell, Texas, just a little way from there, where Governor Perry was from, actually. And I worked over there part-time on weekends and ran the board there. So I've got a little bit of history with the radio broadcasting and still love it. So this is, I'm like a kid with a new toy coming in here today with you. So this is great.
We're glad you're in here with us. Now, there's a name out there in radio land. He's no longer with us. George Marty.
Oh, absolutely. You have to mention Mr. Marty, and I'll tell you, he was the mayor of Cleburne, Texas for many years, a town where I lived and worked many years, and my final years there were as a city manager. But George, who you well know, is a legend in radio broadcast history, as
no
a matter
doubt.
Of fact. And so I got to work with him as the mayor, and tremendous amount of respect for that gentleman. He put so much time, money, and effort into Cleburne that its similarities remind me a lot of Alamogordo, just because of the size of the town, the amenities there. The city was a railroad community. It was a baseball community. All of the things that you see here. The only thing here that's different than I had in Cleburne, Texas was there's a zoo here. And this is a tremendous asset for any community. And this zoo receives so much notoriety and interest. It's a blessing for a city, especially our size, to have such a beautiful zoo and an asset. So that's the main difference in Cleburne, Texas, and Alamogordo, and I would say I've run some human zoos, but I have not got to run an animal zoo before. But here I don't have to worry too much about it because Kate and the entire staff.
Oh, they do a great job,
tremendous job.
Yeah, Alameda Park Zoo we had the Earth Day there, back on April the 20th, that Saturday, and Rick, it was such a pleasure to be there. The big trees for shade, a lot of them left yet. Along with that, though. The zoo, the park area, the grass, so green, getting lusher and lusher. And that's because there's been a lot of money put into the Alameda Park Zoo by the city of Alamogordo.
Yeah, I understand that we've just recently had done upwards to $1 million in irrigation improvements. We've had a lot of our state money has come in that is going into that zoo, a lot of new exhibits, a lot of new animals. So that zoo is going to have the potential to continue to grow and to add new things and to maintain that beauty of that section of town that has been there so long and represent the history of the community and become a draw and continue to be a draw for the area. So, yes, that zoo is just phenomenal.
And then during our interviews with Kate and everything, they brought in a kangaroo. The red kangaroo, the little baby kangaroo, only 8 months old. But that was a highlight of our remote. You know what I mean?
I can see why. That would be an awesome thing to be able to see. I guess more recently, the thing that it kind of breaks your heart when they called me one morning and said that the camel had passed away. And, you know, those things, you become accustomed to those animals.
Yes,
and
they're
part of the family. And that even bothered me. And I hadn't been here long enough to even get really acquainted with the camel. But, you know, kind of bothered me. And then I've heard some people mention to me that the lion had died some while back and that they had gotten used to hearing the lion roar every day. And then when the lion quit roaring, it's just kind of a little break of the heart. And,
right.
Anyway, the zoo will continue to grow, and there's a lot of new things out there. The monkeys out there, there's a mandrill out there named Frankie. If you go out there to see Frankie, you never know what Frankie's thinking about, but he is an interesting monkey to watch, and you could just sit there for hours and watch him. So I want to encourage everybody, go out, support that zoo, bring your friends, family, invite people to come down and spend the day here and spend the night here and take advantage of some of our opportunities here in Alamogordo. And the zoo is certainly one of those, Bob.
You bet it is. That's one of our strengths in Alamogordo is the Alameda Park Zoo. But Rick Holder, we have so many strengths in the city of Alamogordo. Why don't you share some of those with us?
You know, I think one of the first things that I noticed here, and Bob, I think the night that you and I kind of officially met, we had met maybe once before, but was the Christmas parade. And when I saw the number of people that supported that parade that came out on a terrifically cold night,
yes,
for Alamogordo, just the support that was out there for that parade. And all types of floats and different people from all cultures coming together in a melting pot to enjoy that. That was the first thing that I noticed about Alamogordo was its sense of pride in its community, how people did show up and participate and do all the things to make that parade so successful. And it happened on a very short time frame, as you know.
Yes, it did.
Because it became increasingly difficult, if not impossible, to get insurance for that parade. And so it looked like there was not going to be parade, and then the fine folks of the community stepped up. Somebody or a group of people brought in the money to put that together and get the insurance so that we could have the parade. So that told me a lot about the community as a brand new resident right there, without even being here hardly a month, seeing that take place. So that was my first indication that this community can make things happen.
What would you like to see happen, Rick, here in the near future or ensuing years for the city of Alamogordo? I know we've got a natatorium plan. We can talk about that if you want.
Yeah, let's talk about the natatorium. I think one of the things that I have heard since I've been here is that there's nothing to do in Alamogordo.
Oh,
if I hear it once, I've heard it a thousand times.
I've been hearing that for 46 years.
Well, and I'll tell you, we said the same thing living in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And if you can imagine that there's nothing to do in Dallas-Fort Worth, you get accustomed to living somewhere and you lose sight of the forest because of all the trees, and you don't recognize you have so many great things right in your own neighborhood and right in your own back door that you can take advantage of. And I think that happens somewhat here, but if you think about it, we've got the beautiful mountain backdrop, we've got the Sands and of all of their notoriety on the west side, and then obviously we've got mountains and beauty throughout New Mexico, all up and down this mountain chain. So there is a lot of things to do, but we do want to see people find their way to Alamogordo and support our own tourism industry, spending the night, eating at our restaurants, and sharing some resources. And the natatorium is an idea that has been mentioned long before I got here. I think even back in about 2016, there was some study done about it. And the existing swimming pool, while a great pool, is nearing the end of its useful life.
Right.
It's kind of dying, and almost dead.
Yep.
And so the idea that a natatorium with a complete cover over it that could function literally 365 days a year would be such an attractant to get people to come down here. So you can come here from high up in the mountains anywhere around us, or you could come from Las Cruces over here and spend the night and bring your family and enjoy an auditorium, swimming in an enclosed building, in a comfort type situation. It's just really a great opportunity. So the commission asked us to look at that very closely as a staff, and so we have. And we've brought to them some potential designs, some potential costs, how do you pay for it, and what all do you need to do to make it work. So I believe that the next commission meeting on the 14th, we have an item on the agenda where we will be a little more formally discussing that proposition, because quite frankly, some of the funding will involve potentially our voting public to go out and vote for a project.
Right.
And we encourage people to be listening and watching and coordinating with their commissioners about their own feelings, because this is a major deal for the city of Alamogordo if we can pull this off.
Yeah.
Where I have to be careful, Bob, and I want to make it understood that we're trying to do this in a way that will minimize any extra cost to citizens in terms of taxation. We have some areas that we think we can utilize some gross receipts tax that we already receive, that we think that we can reclassify some of that money to help offset some of those costs. So we're going to be in a position where we can mitigate or minimize the amount of additional expense that it might cost our public to participate in. So it is a great opportunity, and it's something that I think quite likely will happen. But we still have a little groundwork to do before we can shore that up. But it does look like that's a very big possibility for us.
I saw the architectural rendering of that.
Yes.
Holy moly. What a beautiful facility
Yeah,
it's going to be.
And I think
if it happens,
Yeah, that's part of the discussion is how do you cover that with a brick and mortar building or with a expanded structural cover over it?
Right.
And I will say we're not talking about the bubble that was on the previous pool that would come on and off each year with the changing of the seasons. This will be a permanent structure that will allow you to open up to have either fresh air coming in. Certainly, its own ventilation, so it can be cooler when you need it to be cooler, and it can be warmer when you need it to be warmer, so that you can use it year round. So, we've had a lot of support. It will be great for competition swimming. The schools would be able to use it. Obviously, that could bring people here from all over New Mexico and even Texas, for that matter, to come here for swim meets and things like that that we can't do today.
Right.
So it will be something that the entire community will be able to take advantage of from all ages. So there will be enough shallow water for the little ones to play, enough deeper water to accommodate swimming. I would say that it does not have what we would call the old-fashioned diving pools. And as you well know, a lot of those are because of liability and what have you.
Right.
Those just aren't here anymore. But the competition swimming and racing and what have you would be available. It would be at the same location as the current pool within that area of our recreation center. So right in the heart of the community, just a tremendous opportunity.
Rick, do we have a cost estimate on that yet?
I'm going to say that you're looking at upwards to from $10 to $12 million, depending on exactly what you put in it. So that's where we're trying to come up with our funding, and some of that will potentially be bonded, and some of it could be paid for with those gross receipts. So we think we can do something that will really be a good investment in the future of the community that will last for many, many years beyond. So that's kind of where we're at on it.
Yeah, that's a major project for us, and we certainly hope that that becomes a reality because our community needs that.
Oh, I certainly agree.
It'll draw in competitors, which when you're drawing people to your community, you're drawing in money.
And you're right. When you bring in especially people that want to stay in motels and want to eat here and all of GRT all comes back to the community. So they, in essence, visitors and tourists and guests will help pay for the cost of the operations and the maintenance of the facility. So it all ties together, and because of where we're at, it is just a great opportunity to enhance the quality of life here and to bring that new tourism and opportunities into the city that aren't here today.
Yeah. Just recently, Rick, as you're aware of, 10 years in the making, but the city of Alamogordo will receive the Altus Award coming up here later this month.
Absolutely, yeah. Bob. That was a project that I know the community had been working on for a long time to get the applications filled out, and it's basically a competition in the Department of Defense world between the Air Force bases and the communities where they're located.
Right.
And so it is just with extreme thanks and gratitude that we had a group of people that put that together, submitted it, and that we were awarded that award on behalf of the relationship of Holloman Air Force Base and the city of Alamogordo and all of the partners within our city that contribute to the well-being of that base and the base to the community. So, you know, I think in the long term, that award will allow us to have some opportunities as a community and Holloman as the Air Force Base to compete for some Department of Defense dollars and things
exactly.
that will come back to us in often big ways. So it's a great award. And it does represent a tremendous amount of effort by the people that put it together. Obviously, I wasn't here when it got put together, but I recognize the value and the importance of that award to the community and to the base. So we're very happy to be a part of that.
Yeah, well, Shelley Bailey has worked in that hard for several years, and she did a marvelous job with a lot of cooperation from the community support to getting that put together. Now, with that Altus Award, you alluded to this, that looks very good at the Pentagon.
That's my understanding of that also, Bob. I think when they start looking at the Pentagon level of opportunities and missions that they want to see at various bases throughout the United States, that award plays very handily into those decisions a lot of times, because there's no question that the government at that level does not want to spend a lot of its money in a community where there's no support of the military installation there. So, you know, quite to the contrary here, we have a tremendous amount of support between both the base and the community that plays into that award, that ultimately plays into the success of this entire region when we start looking at some of those Pentagon dollars that could ultimately come our way with some of the major projects that they're looking at. That's a great spin.
Makes it exciting. Another thing the Pentagon looks at, Rick, as you're aware of, is quality of life issues for airmen that might be moving into the area at Holloman Air Force Base. And when it comes back to that again, I can go back to the natatorium. That's a quality of life issue that the Pentagon will say, wait a minute, here's something new for our men and women at Holloman Air Force Base.
That's absolutely the truth, and that's why it's incumbent upon us to continue to look at those opportunities that are out there to enhance that quality of life, not only for our own residents, our own native residents here, but those that come here on behalf of the military that may be here, they may be here a year, they may be here 7 or 8 years. We don't know how long you're going to be in any base.
But, that's exactly right. Yeah.
But we would be in a position to make that such a beneficial place for people to come and enjoy this community, enjoy this beautiful weather that you called earlier, and the amenities that we can offer. And we haven't mentioned the golf course yet, but when you start talking about the natatorium and the golf course, as well as the museums here and our Flickinger Center and all of the things that are going on downtown with our renovations in the old downtown part, when you add all those things up here, we have a lot more amenity here than a lot of people often realize. Our own airport is a great amenity. If those that are listening got a chance to go out and see the Tri-Motor Ford plane a few weeks ago,
right,
or they may have seen what looked like a barn flying across the sky through the Alamogordo skies about every 7 or 8 minutes, I think toted over 300 people on that plane that took rides. So that airport is a great asset of our community that we often overlook, and many people probably came to that deal and didn't even know we had an airport. So we have a lot of things here that are great and that can become even greater to attract more and more people to come here and enjoy our community.
Rick Holder, where do you envision Alamogordo being? Let's just go 5 years from now. What do you think?
You know, I think a lot of where we go does tie directly to the military. I know that the mission of that base has changed numerous times throughout the years.
Yes.
And is about to undergo some more transition and some changes, both at the wing levels where they're having changing of the guard, if you will.
Right.
There's going to be a lot of things there. There's a lot of things that are fixing to take place, probably as a result of somewhat of the Altus Award and the Department of Defense spending and mission changes. That military is going to drive a lot of where our community goes. And so I think as that base goes, that's going to be part of that driver for the next 5 years here, 5-10 years. Alamogordo is going to continue to exist probably one way or the other, but that base is such a catalyst and the entire community and in the entire economy to the region, as well as to New Mexico in that regard. I think we really just have to look closely at what does that military bring, what are they going to bring, what are they going to be doing, and that's going to determine in part where we go and how we get there. So again, that partnership has got to be there.
Yeah.
And that's my spin.
This sounds good. Now, Colonel Spears, of course, mentioned this one time when we were talking to him about the military structure out there, the families out there. And I didn't realize until he mentioned the fact that if you take a look at Holloman and all the personnel in Holloman, we account for about 12,500 members of this community.
That's a lot of people that that's more than many cities have in their entire communities.
Exactly.
Anywhere in the United States.
Right.
So that's a city in itself, really. But as you well know, once they leave the confines of that base, then they come here. So this is where your quality of life you talked about, our restaurants, our opportunities to go to the Natatorium, to play golf, to go watch a play, to go to the White Sands, go up to the mountains and enjoy the cool air. All of those things are just so much a part of this area, and that base is vital in providing the people out there to participate here.
No doubt about it.
So we've got some great opportunity in front of us.
Yeah, Alamogordo is looking so good. Rick Holder, any final comments this morning? Rick Holden.
I answered to just about anything, and I've probably been called some names worse than that, Bob. I'm good to go. No, I appreciate very much the opportunity to talk to you today. I appreciate the things that I've seen your radio stations do for our community and the support that you give the city and give our community in general. I think that is, again, part of the partnerships that we see here. Those partnerships will allow us all to work together and to create even a better community going forward. So thanks for having me on behalf of the city of Alamogordo.
You bet, Rick. We appreciate you being here. Mike Diller, you're in the office here. Come on in for a minute, Mike, before we wrap this up. There he is. Mike's going to grab a mic there. And Mike told me this story about he got a load of firewood at his home. And you guys are neighbors. He didn't know you were Rick. He didn't know you were, thanks, Mike. He didn't know you were Rick Holder until Holden.
I don't know if he's Rick Holder, but I know he's Rick Holden.
Holden, yeah. And you got that right. Thank you, Rick Holden. But, Mike, what happened when you met this gentleman?
Well, I tell you what, my wife and I had a load of firewood delivered and it just dropped on our front driveway and stuff. And I'd already met Rick. So, Deb and I are out there and we're starting to move this firewood back into our. Back behind our fence and stuff and stack it up and stuff. Next thing I know, here comes running Rick. He said, well, we got to help a neighbor out and stuff. You know, I can't let you do all of this. So he jumps in and helps us load up the firewood.
Well, here's what you may not know, though. As a city manager, I also am involved in code enforcement. So I might have thought, you know what? I don't want my code enforcement guys coming over here and having to give Mike a ticket for having an accumulation of wood out on the driveway. So I thought, if I go over there and help him get that up quickly, then we won't have to worry about that. So he didn't know that side of the story. But I am the neighborly guy, and I certainly
absolutely.
Again, that's part of what makes this community great, I think. So, yeah, we got out there and hauled that wood back there, got it stacked up, and that's just great to have neighbors like that. And obviously, we talked about George Marty, and we talked about radio and some things that we had common interest in. So, yeah, I'm loving it here, enjoying it a whole lot.
Well, see, and I noticed he didn't have any firewood, so I was contemplating, should I sell it to him at an inflated price, or what should I do to help Rick out?
He did offer me some wood, so but I didn't take it. I don't think I turned my heater on in the house, but about twice all winter. I'm very comfortable here, and I couldn't see the need to even light the fireplace, quite honestly, but I appreciated the opportunity and the offers.
Well, I appreciate you coming over and helping us out, but I'll tell you this much, buddy, you ain't acclimated yet. All of a sudden, I found out coming from Kansas, where we had real winters, And I get down here, it gets down to 40, 50 degrees. I'm putting a doggone jacket on, you know? So it's like, hey, it's cold this morning. It's 40
I'm still
degrees.
In shorts at 40. If it's 40, it's good shorts and golf weather for me. Yeah.
During the Shop with a Cop a promotion back in December with Thrive and everything, Rick was out there with no jacket on or no coat on, long sleeve shirt, I think, and everything else, bearing up that cold, by golly. You did it.
Yeah, I absolutely walked out that morning and didn't realize that water was freezing on contact. I had to do what I had to do and be there, and somebody questioned my common sense ability to not bring a coat, but that's okay. I survived it, and that was a great event too, by the way.
One trick about New Mexico is that when it's 30 degrees outside, you're hot in the sun, but as soon as you step in the shade, look out.
Absolutely.
And Rick, one more comment too. Getting around town, we talked to a lot of people. We talked to a lot of the city employees and everything else. And a lot of times your name comes up as a new city manager. And not once have I had a city employee say anything negative about Rick Holden. They always compliment you on, hey, he comes around, he talks to us, he cares about us, he wants to make sure we're taken care of as well by the city. And that's a compliment I want to pass on to you and to our audience. You care about the city of Alamogordo and its employees.
You know, I appreciate that very much, but I also want to point out that I'm not naive either, and sometimes the honeymoon phase of any job will end, and I may be nearing the end of the honeymoon phase because I'm starting to see and hear a few things coming back my way that are things that, you know, ultimately need to be changed.
Sure.
And, you know, people are a little adverse sometimes to change. So some of those same comments you got 2 months ago, they might be saying, hey, he's trying to change the world.
Well, the only thing I'll say about that, yeah, you can expect some changes because Bob and I, we ran out of dollar bills to pay these people.
Yeah, right.
Hey, I'm going to step out.
It's good to see you, Mike. Good to hear you on the radio also.
Thank you very much.
So have a great day. But thanks again for Bob and Mike for having us up here. And,
you bet,
and
buddy.
For allowing the city to be a partner with your radio station. We love it and look forward to a long future ahead. So thanks again, Bob, for having me.
You bet you, Rick, and we'll be doing it again. All right?
Absolutely.
Rick Holden, our city manager for Alamogordo.
We are Active Radio, 88.9 FM, KHII Cloudcroft, 100.5 FM Alamogordo, and 102.3 KEDU Ruidoso.